Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of 1 Peter. And also want to invite you to be back with us tonight at 6 o'clock. It's family night on Sunday nights here. We're digging into the scripture and we're looking at books of the Bible. Our series is The Greatest Story Ever Told. And I want to ask you the question, what do wheelbarrows, binoculars, Kleenexes, a family tree, and a pacifier all have in common? Well, come tonight and you'll realize what it's all about. And we're studying books of the Bible and we're gathering object lessons to help us remember the main key lesson from that particular book of the Bible. Well, today we're in the book of 1 Peter, and we're talking about the fact that we must walk together. There's a lot in this book about the church being united. And church family, I'm so thankful that we have a happy church. It's easy to preach on church unity when you're in a happy place. Amen? And that's a blessing, and I am very thankful that we have that. In an old Peanuts cartoon, Charles Schulz brought Lucy in, and she demanded that Linus change the TV channel. She threatened Linus with her fist, and he said, "What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over?" Linus said. She said, "These five fingers. Individually, they're nothing, but when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold." And Linus said, "What channel do you want?" And then he turned away and he looked at his own fingers and he says, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" Church family, we've got to be organized. We've got to be organized for unity. We've got to be organized for purpose. We've got to be organized to get the thing done that Jesus wants us to get done. There's too much at stake. The time is too short. And I love what Emily sang about, that even when we don't understand, sometimes we look around, we don't understand, but we still worship the Lord because the Lord is in control. His sovereign hand is over all of history and over our lives as well. But it's unity and it's cooperation that we need. In the Minneapolis Star, there was an ad in there that said, "Insante County Commissioner Tom Pagel has 100% support from his family, not 10%, as was stated in last week's article on Pagel's announcement for re-election." Hey, that little circle in there, either 10% or 100%, made a difference, didn't it? And they had to correct that. The truth is that we need to work together for the cause of Jesus Christ. And in a time of difficulty, and that's what these folks were in, that were receiving this letter from Peter. They were in five provinces and they were in difficult days of persecution and challenge. And so Peter was saying, look, you have to be united. The body of Christ is important, and it's important that we send the same message to the world. John Wesley said this. He said, "I want the whole Christ for my Savior, the whole Bible for my book, the whole church for my fellowship, and the whole world for my mission field." We need it all. And we need the whole church united to reach that mission field. So today we read a few verses of scripture that help us understand the fact that we are united. Whether we like it or not, we are united, and we need to learn how to work together. Here's what it says. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. It says this, "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 6, therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He gives us three illustrations or three pictures in this passage that show the unity that we are to have, to show the oneness that we are to have in the church. Number one, we are stones in a building. We are stones in a building. Now it says in verse 4 that we come to Christ, we come to him as to a living stone. That refers to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ was raised. Back in the previous passage, he referred back to that passage where it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you look at the end of verse 3 there in our passage, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, he's referring, talking about Jesus, referring back to Psalm 34 that was written about God. So therefore, he is making a claim that Jesus Christ is God. Now, we know that the New Testament teaches that, but Peter was nailing it down for his readers to say that Jesus Christ was God, and so he is the living stone. But I want you to know, and of course he quotes, if you look towards the end of our passage, he quotes Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, talking about the Lord Jesus, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Then he quotes Psalm 118, verse 22 and verse 7, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And then he quotes in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 14, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense in verse 8. So those are key verses that we know. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, but he's going to tell us that we are stones. Look at this, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are living stones being built into a spiritual house. Now, Jesus is the chief cornerstone of the church. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says this, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the living stone. He is the chosen one. He is precious. And Jesus talked about the church as being a building. In the New Testament, Jesus said this, I will build my church, talking about a building. And so we are stones in a building. Every time someone comes to know Christ, and we're so thankful when that happens, especially when it happens here in our fellowship, when someone walks the aisle and says, I've given my life to Christ, someone stirs the baptismal waters, and it shows us that they have given their life to Jesus Christ. Every time someone gets saved, a stone is hewn out of the rock, so to speak, and added to the church. Jesus referred to his church as a building. Now we have the universal church. This is the church of all believers in all of history. But we also have the local church. And we must walk together because we are one building. So the truth of the matter is we are stones in a building. Number two, we are priests in a temple. We are priests in a temple. In verse 5, look at what it says. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, and that spiritual house is the church. The temple of the Old Testament is a foreshadowing of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. The living stones build that up, and you are being built up into a spiritual house. But then it says, a holy priesthood. You're a priest. Now, in some faiths, you have to go through a person in order to get to God. Do you know that we have a high priest, the Lord himself? He is our high priest. But we can come individually. We can come individually. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and turn back one book of the Bible to the book of Hebrews and go to chapter 10, verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19. The writer of Hebrews says this, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Now, the holiest is showing like the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament temple. This was where the actual presence of God dwelt. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying to believers, you can come yourself boldly to the holiest by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Talking about the fact that we individually can come to the Lord. We do not need another man to come before God. And that is huge. And so together, not only are we stones in a building, but we are priests in a temple, and we come individually. This truth is called the priesthood of the believer. And one of the things that you need and I need to remember in our lives is the fact that we have what is called the priesthood of the believer. We can come directly to God in prayer. And the scripture says it, as we just read, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find mercy and help in time of need. Now, we come because we have one mediator. We can come individually to the Lord, and we come because we have one mediator. Take your Bible and go back a few books there to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 right after Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 8. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, look at verse 5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And Paul says, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. Go back up and look at verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, or men, the man, Christ Jesus. Now back to 1 Peter. So we see that we have one mediator, and that is the Lord Jesus. He is the chief cornerstone that is talked about in our passage in 1 Peter. Jesus is our high priest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says it this way, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I love that part in the passage there in Hebrews that says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Sometimes you are in a situation, sometimes I'm in a difficulty, and you wonder if anyone notices you, anyone notices the difficulty that you're in. Can I say this to you? Jesus, as our high priest, sympathizes with our weaknesses because he has been through it all. And because of that, we can come boldly to him. We have one mediator. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So the Lord wants us, church family, to be a kingdom of priests. You say, well, I'm just a member of a church. Well, let me just say this. If you are a believer in Christ, if you have turned your life over to Christ, you have accepted the gospel, you have received the gospel message, and you have asked Jesus to come into your life to be your Savior, you are in a kingdom of priests. This church, according to Scripture, is made up of a kingdom of priests. And because of that, it's very important how we live. Dr. Wiersbe, one of my Bible heroes, one of my heroes of studying Scripture, he says it this way. He says, it's important that we as God's priests maintain our separated position in this world. We must not be isolated because the world needs our influence and witness, but we must not permit the world to infect or to change us. Separation is not isolation. It is contact without contamination. I love that. So as priests, we are to touch the world and let the message of Jesus get to this world. That's one of the reasons that we are doing this Love Loud. That's one of the reasons that we reach out through our life groups. That's one of the reasons that we give an invitation. That's one of the reasons that we go on mission trips. That's one of the reasons that we share Christ with our community, because we want, as a kingdom of priests, to touch our community. And now, the priests in the Old Testament, they went into the temple and they made sacrifices. As a priest, you need to make sacrifices. Now, it's different than the sacrifices of the Old Testament. The Old Testament, they did animal sacrifices. But here in the New Testament, as the priests of the New Testament, as a kingdom of priests of North Central Baptist Church, we give our time. We offer spiritual sacrifices, our time, our talents, and our treasure. You sacrifice time and give time for the Lord. You use your talents for the Lord. The resources the Lord has given you, you give as a sacrifice to the Lord. Hebrews 13:16 is a scripture that kind of summarizes it. It says this, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now, we don't give the sacrifices in order to be accepted by Jesus. We're accepted solely because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. When you came to Christ, he didn't say, well, I'll let you get saved as long as you give this, or give this much time, or use your talents in this way. No, you come to Christ because of what Jesus has done for you. Jesus says, if you will believe on me, if you will trust me to be your Savior, I have died for you on the cross, and I will take your sins, and I will erase them. I will place my blood over them, and they will never to be remembered against you forever. But as a result of what Christ has done, then we make, as priests, we make spiritual sacrifices. Look in your Bible back in the book of Romans. Book of Romans, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans chapter 15 and verse 16. Romans 15, 16. I'll begin with verse 15. Just look up at verse 15, and we'll do 15 and 16. It says, "Nevertheless, brethren," this is Paul writing to the Romans, "I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering," look at this, "that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Even those we win to Christ are our offering to God, as a sacrifice to God." So, ladies and gentlemen, you give spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. Your time, your talent, your treasure. Did you know this? Even your body. Even our body is given to God as a sacrifice. The scripture says this in Romans 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice." In the Old Testament, they took an animal and the animal lost its life. The animal died, was killed in the sacrifice. In the New Testament, they're living sacrifices. We make living sacrifices of our body to God. That means you wake up in the morning and you say, "Lord, I know what I want to do today, but what do you want me to do? Take these feet where you want them to go. These are your hands, Lord. Use these hands to do what you want them to do. These are your eyes, Lord. Allow me to see the things and guide my eyes. Lord, I make a covenant." Job said this, "I make a covenant with my eyes that I might not look upon a maid." What he meant was, "I'm making a covenant with my eyes. Don't let me see anything, Lord, that does not please you." And so, as a royal priesthood, as a community of priests, there's Priest Daugherty right there. Look at there. Priest Daugherty. There's Priest Walker back there. Priest Hart right there. Hey, as a priest, we make sacrifices to the Lord. And so we serve the Lord collectively in our priesthood. So he's giving us these illustrations of how we have to work together. He's saying, you're stones in a building. You're stones in a building. You're priests in a temple. And then the last one is, we're citizens of a nation. Look at verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, he goes back and quotes in 6, 7, and 8. He goes back and quotes Old Testament passages that talks about Jesus Christ being the stone, the chief cornerstone, that was rejected. And then in verse 9 he says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." Folks, we're citizens of a nation. "His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who hath not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy." You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. In Exodus chapter 15, in the Old Testament, it says this, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." In Deuteronomy chapter 7, it says this, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." So, in the Old Testament, God chose Israel to be a blessing to all the nations. In the New Testament, God is saying to you, you are a citizen of a new nation. We have another citizenship. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says it this way, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." We are to show forth God's praise. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim, listen, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are to show forth God's praise. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, we are to reveal the praises of God to a lost world. John Piper says this way, missions happens because praise isn't. Let that sink in a minute. Missions happens because praise and worship isn't. In other words, there are places in this world where people are not worshiping God, and we do missions so that all the nations of the world would worship and praise the Lord. So we reveal the praises of God to a lost world. The word show forth or proclaim. Look at it in verse 9. His own special people that you may proclaim. You may want to circle that word. That word means to tell out. It almost has the idea to advertise. In other words, you are to get the message out. Because the world is in the dark, people do not know the excellencies of God, but they should. And they should see that in our lives. We are the showing out of the glory of God. We are to get the gospel to people so that they could worship and praise the Lord. It's very, very important. Now, one thing that's a blessing in our fellowship because of our international work, because of our university being here and those that are reaching out to people that perhaps are here visiting from other nations, in any given time, we have 10 to 15 different nations on this planet worshiping with us. Isn't that a blessing, church? We have different nations in our congregation worshiping with us. We praise God for that. Our mission statement says this, we are to reflect Christ's light to Gainesville and the world. You are stones in a building. You are priests in a temple, the church. You are a citizen of another nation. And because of that, we work together to get the praises of God to the world, reflecting Christ's light to Gainesville and to the world. Those that study these things have said there are about 11,000 people groups in the world. There are 6,000 people groups that are still unreached with the gospel. And 3,000 of those 6,000 who are not reached, but they have absolutely no witness. They have no witness for Christ. But if we work together, this is what the text is saying. If we work together, we can show forth his praises in a greater way than if we did it just individually. Somebody says, oh, well, I don't know about that. I don't know about church, you know. Hey, look, I know I've been involved in churches since I was a baby. I have a little card in a box. When my mother passed away, I got that box, and there's a little card in there where Calvin Johnson Carr was enrolled in the cradle roll at First Baptist Church in Jacksonville in 1960. So I've been around churches a long time, and I know some churches, you have all kinds of problems. If we had a testimony meeting, we'd be here all day of people that have been seen something wrong in churches. Jesus said, I will build my church. You need a church. Because together, the witness and the light going out is greater. He says it in Peter. He says, look, you're stones in a building. You're priests in a temple. You are citizens of a nation. Dave, I don't know, you're going to have to corroborate this with me. Dave's from Canada. Some Canadian farmers, they had some contests with oxen, and they said, how much weight can an oxen pull? And the champion oxen pulled 9,000 pounds on this particular rig. I don't know what all they had rigged up, but this particular oxen pulled 9,000 pounds, and the next one pulled just shy, 5 pounds less than the 9,000 and some odd that the first one won with. And so you'd think that together they could pull 18,000. when they put them together and they yoked them together, they pulled 26,000 pounds together. See, ladies and gentlemen, listen. You individually can come to the Lord, but together as a church family, we can make a greater impact. And that's the picture that he's giving us here. We're a part of the church. We're a part of the local body of believers, and we're a part of the church all over this world that is reflecting Christ's light to the nations so that they may worship the Lord. I'm thankful for a church that went after me when I was a lost young person. Even though I was on that cradle roll, I didn't know Jesus, and it wasn't until I was a teenager that I came to know Jesus. I'm thankful for a church in this town that when I was a college student needing a lot of direction, I knew Jesus, but I need a lot of direction, that there was a church here that reached out to me. Collectively, together, we can make an impact in a greater way than you could just individually. Because you are, and we are together, we are stones in a building. We're priests in a temple. We're citizens of a nation. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.